But first, for our hotspot, Nathan, would you mind vacating? Because, Mike, it's your turn to come and sit on the seat here. And I was very thankful that you were able to come tonight. It is our Education Sunday. We had a wonderful testimony from three of our young men this morning, one of whom was one of yours. But they're all now at Sir John Dean's.
He didn't mention his history teacher specifically, I believe, Mike.
He did mention his history teacher, that's true, yes.
Which, no, he didn't. Well, he
oh, he didn't. No, one of them
no,
did.
We had that conversation.
No, one of them mentioned their history teacher this morning.
Well, I forgive him.
That was Noah, yes, it was, wasn't it? Sorry. Yeah. Mike, what do you teach, just in case we hadn't guessed?
Well, by trade, 30 years ago when I started teaching, I was a history teacher.
Yes, I think we might have gathered that. So, Mike, I just wanted to ask you a few questions. If you don't know, Mike is the head teacher of our church high school. And so just tell us a bit first, if you will, about your own Christian faith, because you've been a member here for a number of years. Tell us about your Christian faith.
I've been a member here since Matthew was born, and Matthew is 17 and a half years old now. And I certainly have been called by God to serve. And I think if I look back, he put so many Christian people in my way, I really was stupid to ignore it for so long, even before I met my beautiful wife and her family, very Christian family. And all the way through my life, one of my best friends at school, Judith, was a Christian. We had many conversations in sixth form, as you do, and she now lives in New Zealand.
we'll forgive her.
I had to, you know, many years ago, email her and apologise and tell her she was right all along, and she said, "I knew I was right. I knew you'd become a Christian yourself, Mike." Mm-hmm. And it is something that I had a conversation with George Agar about 10 years ago, and because until that point I'd never taken communion, and that conversation really helped to clear my mind in a number of things. You'll remember a conversation with me about the baptism of Matthew.
I think it was Leah.
It was Paul Gardner.
It was the end of Paul's time, wasn't it? But I was here already.
And really, how you didn't get frustrated with me for being so obtuse. Anyway, clearly you forgave me. We are, and thankfully, having been dragged kicking and screaming, I now see myself as a role model to young people. I'm able, because of my position in a Church of England school, to shout about my Christianity, to shout about Jesus Christ. Mm. I'm very proud to do so.
Now, Mark, you were, as you said, you've been a teacher for 30 years.
Yeah.
So the first period of your being a teacher, you wouldn't have identified as a committed Christian, whereas in this latter part, happily you do. What difference has it made to you as a teacher and a head teacher to be a Christian?
When I became head teacher, I've been head for 12 years now. I did many things, but one of the first things I did was change the job specification. So the individual personal attributes that you should have to work at our school, even before a Church of England school, I just had inserted the ability to forgive and move on. And clearly, as an adult working with young people, that's a really good approach to take. But in my mind, at that point, having become a Christian, that was my way of saying, I want us to show a Christian viewpoint towards our young people, and rooted that in the gospel of forgiveness. And it's allowed us, it's allowed me to be confident about my faith, and when the discussions came probably 7 or 8 years ago now, Mike, about becoming a Church of England school, it meant that I was able to support the inexorable will, I think, of the governing body, of whom only 4 out of 20 were Christians, and I was one of them.
I was another one.
And you're another one. And I took the view at the time that I wouldn't vote at all in any of those discussions. I would have my say, but as the head, if I get hit by the bus, we would still have been a Church of England school. And that allowed me to take part in that with confidence. There's a practical side of things, of course. Without a Christian head teacher, I don't think we could have become a Church of England school without sacking me.
No.
Which
would have been unfortunate.
It would, yes, in many respects.
So let's talk a bit about that journey now, because it was 7 or 8 years ago that the discussions began.
Yeah.
And I remember some of those. There was a long discussion with me in the room about whether I was allowed to vote, because I clearly was a Christian at the time, although I was serving as a local authority governor in what was then a community school. But it's 5 years. I think we've now had a full 5 years of,
yeah, we're in year
of children.
Six, yeah.
We're in year six now of children who've come to our school, known as the Church of England High School. So in that, now we now had a whole cohort come through. How has that changed the school for you, for the staff, and most importantly for young people?
Now, forgive me for referring to my notes, because we've discussed the questions you're going to ask me. It's not cheating, but we thought we'd have some joint approach here. I've got a number of specific examples, and this is on top of the things that you can't quantify.
Mm.
Which are many, many and varied. The first thing is the support for our Christian students. I have two children. Matthew never came anywhere near our chapel. He would never lift his head above the parapet. And part of the reason for that was that he, when in his first year at Hartford, we weren't a Church of England school. Whereas Leah, you'll probably know Leah, she plays the trumpet with Mary most Sunday mornings, and she's a very, very confident and overt Christian. And for those Christian children, in the first couple of years, we never had a Phil Heighton, who's simply a wonderful role model as an ordained minister for our young people. And he's able to work with them. They know they're going to be nurtured. And what is clear is there are more and more children mm-hmm. from Christian families coming to Hartford. Mm-hmm. And we're able to support them in their Christianity. And we do it in a very subtle way, but we're aware of who they are. And some we still don't succeed with. And they won't come to our chapel services. And they won't become school ambassadors because they don't want to. And we understand that as well. Mm-hmm. But the door is always open to them. But also support for Christian encouragement for non-Christian children. And I think we can point to a couple of people in particular, perhaps who attend mm-hmm. Christchurch, mm-hmm. who are now Christians.
Mm-hmm. Someone like Annabelle.
Annabelle Hay. Mm-hmm. And
I remember her giving me a grief when she was in about year 9 yeah. in Christian Union, because she's a bit like you. Wasn't at all going to be persuaded by anybody to become
yeah.
a Christian.
Yeah.
Then look at her now.
Yes. And she's someone who I think if she hadn't gone to a Church of England school, mm-hmm. she would not. It's possible she would not mm-hmm. be a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and that's just one example. And I hope we have many more in years to come. Mm-hmm. We very sadly lost Pete Hignett, mm-hmm. one of our maths teachers, in March, and Pete was just an incredibly positive presence around school. He died very suddenly one Sunday morning. And we, just the chance to pray with you and Phil in the canteen before speaking to the staff on that morning was absolutely crucial to me in getting through that next 10 minutes because the staff were devastated. We were devastated. And the things that went on with Pete, an incredible service for him. 650 people on the Wednesday evening turned up to give thanks to his life and his contribution to school. And all we said, the only thing that would happen would be that Phil would say prayers at 6 o'clock. And there was silence in this so-called secular society.
Mm-hmm.
People joined in prayers and they gave thanks for Pete's life in prayer. And it was, and mm-hmm. you know, there's no cynicism there. People praised Pete's contribution through the work of Jesus. And that really helped me and the school, just being a Church of England school, the pastoral support we have. Again, your role, Mike, you dropped everything that day. Phil's role, absolutely crucial to us. And that is a specific example of where things really, really, we were helped by being a Church of England school. On a practical level, I'm still trying to get my head around this, but more bright children now come to school. If you look at our average point score from Key Stage 2, and there's no doubt at all that part of the reason is because we're a Church of England school and we're attracting more children from small Church of England primary schools and the kind of children and families that they come from. Mm. We are a community school, you know, first and foremost, a community school, but that has been an unintended consequence. And the final thing, practically, we're about to lose it in the next 2 months. We'll be planning our new build. The building, as you know, we're a split site school, old boys' school and girls' school, amalgamated in 1978. And the old boys' school at the Greenbank end is going to be knocked down, and we're going to rebuild that on the west site. And practically, because when we became a Church of England school, the buildings were taken over by the diocese. They did a condition survey. The condition survey coincided with an email from the government saying, if you think your building is falling down more than others, then please put in a bid. And 6 months later, we had a yes. You can have that building refurbished. Once they got into it, they thought, you can't refurbish this. It won't be cost effective. And we're going to get a brand new build, probably in the region of £10 million. And that would not have happened if we hadn't been a Church of England school. Now, all these things could be coincidence.
Do we believe in coincidence?
No. But this is, for me, the work of God, working in our community.
And there was that, when Ofsted last came, twice in that report, they highlighted the church status as improving outcomes and the learning experience for all children in the school, not just for the Christian ones.
Yes.
And I thought that was a real encouragement.
It was a great encouragement, and please forgive me, I'm also an Ofsted inspector, and I've since met Judith Straw, who was our inspector. She is a Christian, and she was very happy to put those things into our report. And again, that's just another
example.
Well,
we just don't believe in coincidence.
No, absolutely.
Let me ask you one last question. This week it was reported that for the first time more people identify as non-religious than Christian in the UK, and that only 3% of young people now identify as C of E. What do you think is the way forward for distinctively Christian education, and what challenges and opportunities do you foresee?
Well, firstly, as with any survey, you need to question the methodology. That is not my experience. Young people, in my experience, are curious, and they're particularly curious about big questions. And they want to have those discussions. And we're able to set up and structure those discussions within a safe environment where we will listen to everyone's view, within reason, everyone's views. And they know at Hartford that they know the head teacher will say, I'm a Christian, this is what I believe. And they know that I'm doing assemblies this week, it's my standards assembly. Tom's heard this assembly 5 times. And
should we ask him what it is?
and I'm sure he was listening. And many things we say as head teachers are a bit like things you say. We say the same thing in a different way, time and time again, because they're true. And we have to keep on doing that. We are in a society that's becoming more and more secular. We are in a society that's becoming more and more PC. Institutions like the BBC bend over backwards to forgive me, I'm maybe getting a little political here, but to give everyone a fair crack of the whip and forget that we're a Christian nation. And it's really important that we are able, and we are able, to shout about Jesus Christ and what he does for us. Because the world continues to fall around our ears, and if we haven't got Jesus... We have no starting point. We have no rock on which to base our foundations. And it's absolutely essential that we do shout about it. And as you know, we are massively oversubscribed. And I think a lot of people out there want to hear that with me saying that in public and sending their children to us.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Mike, thank you so much. And there's... it's... One of the first things I did when we arrived in Hartford in 2001 was I was sent in to fulfil Dave Wright's rota of assemblies at the then Hartford High School. And it's been a joyful partnership, as it continues to be now for 16 years.
One last point, Mike, and I've said this before, perhaps not in this domain, but one of the main reasons we became Church of England School was because of our existing excellent relationship with St John's. And one of the real benefits of this is, of course, we get to see even more of you than we used to.
I did work out how many thousand young people have heard my assembly. I get quite a lot of people who say, didn't you used to come to assemblies in our school? And we've now done some weddings of people that I used to do school assemblies for in our school. So,
you did?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Mike, thank you. We mustn't take the rest of the service, but thank you very much indeed for that.